Kof Gimel Kislev, Monday the 11th of December, Rabbi David Gibber. The mirage of materialism. The mirage of the lecturer. You?
It was a mirage.
I
was here before.
No.
It was a mirage. I was here before.
Is it?
This is here's your gemara.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for having me, for inviting me to share some Divrei Torah with you. I hope you won't be disappointed. Now, the topic, the way I described it, is called the mirage of materialism. And it sounds very philosophical, but I really mean it to be very lamaisa, very down-to-earth, and very, very practical. The Gemara says in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis, that L'asad Labai, when Mashiach will come, Hashem is going to take the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, and he's going to shecht it, going to destroy it. And the tzaddikim will be witnessing this event, and the Rishon will be witnessing it as well. And both groups are going to be crying. The tzaddikim will be crying, the Rishon will be crying. And the Gemara explains, why are they crying? Each one has a different perspective. The Gemara says that to the Rishon, the Yetzer Hara appear like a chut hasar, like something as flimsy as a hair. End of hair. However, to the tzaddikim, it appeared like a mountain, a tall, mighty mountain. And they're both crying. The tzaddikim are crying over the fact that they were able to overcome this, the way the Mashal learns of Simcha, that they were able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. Oh, wonderful. And the Rishonim are crying because, as we would say, they're kicking themselves. They feel so terrible about the fact that they fell in. They gave in. They weren't able to stand up to the temptation of the Yetzer Hara. And they're full of charot, they're full of regret and remorse, and they're crying tears of sadness. See, this Gemara needs a lot of explanation. What does the Gemara mean? That they look at it as a mountain, they look at it as a chutasara, like a hair. Who's right and who's wrong? We're talking about at the time when the emes, when the truth will be revealed, the Mashiach's time. So who has the right perception, who has the wrong perception? So I'd like to share with you what the Beis Halevi in Parshas Bereishis says about this, which is really a very fundamental point. He says, nobody's vision is impaired. They're seeing the right thing, but from a different perspective. And he explains like this. In this world, Olam Hazeh, the Gashmius, the material world, he says, you'll notice an interesting phenomenon. For example, people run after money. Don't we all know that? People run after money. They want to earn more money. They want to get higher in the social ladder, in the financial status of the world, to have a better standard of life, etc., etc. And many times people work so hard that they overwork themselves. They work themselves to the bone. They neglect their health. And they neglect other things that really are quality of life things for the pursuit of money. But what happens when they, if and when, they attain that goal? If they are matzliach, they're successful. Afterwards they look back and they say, oh, I'm a shambles. What did I do to myself? My health is suffering. I haven't slept. I'm a nervous wreck. I'm torn from all sides. I have to get a good vacation. I have to find some place to go away to rest. I have to go to a health spa. And you have to go to doctors and all kinds of doctors, various practices to heal you spiritually, emotionally. What's going on? You ran after that money so hard. You pursued it so vigorously. And you threw your health to the wind, so to speak. Sacrificed so much because of that goal. And in the end, you're willing to give away tons of money, fortunes, to restore your health, to restore your well-being, to restore your menuchas and nefesh, if you can. So what's the pshat? Why do you do that? So the Beis Halevi explains, you know why? Because there's a built-in fault. There's a built-in problem with gashmius, with materialism. And to use our type of expressions, I would say that when it comes to gashmius, to materialism, the expectation is greater than the realization. You don't get what you expected to get. You expect the world, and you end up getting much less than you expected. That's how it is. And that's why people, until they attain, for example, over here, the money, it could be with covet, it could be other things, with honor, but say with money. Until you attain that money, you feel that money is going to give you happiness and contentment and make your life blissful. And because of that, you're willing to sacrifice what you sacrifice, the health and the time and your children and time for your family and everything. But in the end, you see that it did not make you happy. It wasn't as great as it seemed. And now you look back and you say, was it worth it? Was it really worth it? There's a phrase that they say, I'm not sure who said it, if it was from a Jewish source or a secular source, either way, it's certainly a very wise saying. That real wealth can be measured in terms of the things that you would not give up for all the money in the world. Let me say that again. Real wealth, real happiness and real wealth is measured by having the types of things that you would not want to give up for all the money in the world. And we understand what that means. Family, children, nachas. Those are the real things that really count. So the Beis Halevi says something remarkable. He says, when did this become that way? That there's this imbalance that you expect the world and you get paltry returns. By the way, they say, it's a famous vort, that when a child is born, so a child is born with his fists clenched. You ask anyone who delivers a baby, that's the way it is. Fists are clenched. Loyalenu, lachame ve'esrim, someone is nifter, their hands are open. And the idea is, when a child is born, he intends to conquer the world and grab it all and have it all. And in the end he sees, what do I have? Comes away with nothing. There was a point at which this happened. And the Beis Halevi says, that point was by the time of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. Chet of the Eitz Hadas. Because really with the Eitz Hadas, there's some classical questions that are difficult to understand. For example, before Adam and Chava sinned with the Eitz Hadas, with the Tree of Knowledge, so we understand there was no Yetzirah yet, there was no evil inclination. So how did they do an Aveira without a Yetzirah? It's what we call a catch-22. What, the chicken or the egg? What comes first? No Yetzirah, no evil inclination, what pushes you to do a sin? That's one question. Another question is that really not necessarily a kasha question, but it needs to be explained, why did Nisa, did death result from the Eitz Hadas? Okay. So basically he says like this. The way Hashem created the world initially was that you get what you see and you want that thing to the degree that it'll satisfy you. This imbalance didn't exist yet. You see an apple, whatever fruit the Eitz Hadas was, but let's say an apple, okay? It looks good, looks tasty, you desire it. How much do you desire it? You desire it to the extent that it will satisfy you. That's how much you want it. Your taiva, your desire, is equal to the pleasure and the benefit that you will attain from eating it. It's even. Okay? However, that changed with the Eitz Hadas. He says something very remarkable. He says that, you know, the nachash, the snake, when he enticed Adam v'Chava to do the Aveira of the Eitz Hadas, he did it through a ruse. Yisim kilukim yoydei toivara. Ah, you know why God doesn't want you to eat from it? Because He doesn't want competition. Because how did He become Chalila God? How did He become Hashem? He ate from the Eitz Hadas. He doesn't want anyone else eating from it to have any other competitors. So, you'll be like Him. Go ahead. Enjoy. That's what the Machash said. So the whole thing was a ruse. The whole chet of the Eitz Hadas was based on the premise of thinking you're going to get more than you're going to get. And because of that, eating from the Eitz Hadas infused in them this imbalance. The result of eating from the Eitz Hadas was that you think you're going to get so much from the material things in the world, but it's not going to give you that. Whatever it'll give you, but you're going to want it so much more. Way beyond what it'll give back to you. And he says, the words Eitz Hadas Toiv V'ra, simply translated, the tree of knowledge of good and bad. So he says, we can understand it this way. Eitz Hadas Toiv, that the Das thinks it's good, looks good, it's appealing, great, V'ra. But really, it's not so great. And just like that money that was so great until you got it and you realize, is my health worth it? It's like that with all different materialistic desires. And that's what happened from the Eitz Hadas. Because it was done in that ruse way, that it was done on a premise of falsehood, it ingrained in a person this imbalance. And since then, we have this imbalance that because of that, we want things mamish to a great extent, but they don't give us what we want. I remember I had a friend, I was in a kollel in Chicago for 4 years, Lakewood Branch Kollel. And a friend of mine, who's now a rav there in the city, had some relatives who were multimillionaires. They were not frumer people, but they were philanthropic multimillionaires. And he had to go visit them one time with his wife. And here's this kollel young man on his meager stipend, the way we struggled then. And he's sitting here in the millionaire's home, and they're schmoozing and they're talking. Somehow, wouldn't you know it, the topic turned to money. Okay, so money was the topic. And here are these multimillionaires, famous multimillionaires, are sitting there in their luxurious home on Lake Michigan, which is one of the more fashionable places to have a beautiful home. And they were thinking what they don't have yet. True story. Well, they didn't, for some reason, I don't know why, they hadn't yet bought themselves a yacht. They hadn't bought a yacht yet. Okay. They would like to have various places for vacation in different times of the year in different locations. Perhaps a chalet in Switzerland, and maybe for the skiing season, and Acapulco, something for that weather, for that time of year. And they were trying to make a cheshbon of what they would need in terms of yearly salary in order to be able to keep up this lifestyle that they didn't get to yet, to attain the yacht and to attain all these different things, the whole list of things that they were doing. Now, my friend was just sitting there, amazed, stupefied. And finally they came up with a figure that I believe it was per year, I would think. $20 million. If they had $20 million, I think it meant yearly. Oh, that type of income will be able to sustain the lifestyle that they're dreaming of. And he's sitting there, dumbfounded. What's going on? There is no limit. There's mamish no limit. As much as you have, you always want more. Chazal say it to us. Mishiyet for mona, rotsu masayim. If you have 100, you want 200. But if you have 200, you want 400. If you have 400, you want 800, then 1600, 3200. I've done the numbers before, okay? It's a geometric progression, it's called. A geometric progression, not arithmetic. You don't just add another one or two. It's doubled and doubled and doubled, and it goes on and on. You never have as much as you want. You know, sometimes I imagine people think like this. I think like this perhaps myself too sometimes. I don't want to be a chazer. I don't have to have so much. So I'll have a $100,000 salary a year or whatever it is in pounds. Fine, able to manage. I'm not going to want more. No, I'm not. When I get that, I'll be so happy. But you know what? The mistake is that, you know, I'm not going to want 200 when I get 100. But it's a mistake. Because the way Hashem made it is, the taiva for 200, you don't have until you get the 100. Right now you have 50,000, let's say. So you want 100, you want double. And right now you're willing to say to yourself, 100 is fine, I'll be happy with that. I'm not going to be a chazer. When I get the 100, I'll sit down, I'll retire, I'll sit, go to Mesmeder, hear Shiurim, wonderful. No, 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 no. You don't have the taiva for 200,000 yet, because you don't have the 100,000. When Hashem sends it down, express, to your door, that money, or to your bank account, whatever, and you're matzliach, and you get the 100,000, it comes with an injection of a taiva in the package for 200,000. And then again you say, 200,000. Ah, for sure I'll be happy. Am I going to want 400,000 when I get 200,000? No. You know what? You don't have that taiva yet, because you didn't get to 200 yet. When you get to 200, it comes together in the same package with the taiva of 400,000. And on, and you're a multimillionaire, you're sitting there, if I had $20 million a year, I would have blah, 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 blah. There's no end. And that's because the way the Eitz Hadas left the world, that there's this big imbalance. And that's how the Beis Halevi explains that there was no, of course there was a Yetzer Hara prior to the Chet. Otherwise there's no purpose in the world. A person wasn't put in the world just to be a goody-goody by nature. You have to have a Yetzer Hara. Otherwise we'd have to come down to this world. But the Yetzer Hara was on a par with what you're going to get from listening to him. But now it got exaggerated and it's way out of proportion. Says the Beis Halevi. Why did Misa result? It's not merely as a punishment. It was a direct totsah, a direct result that had to grow out of that chet. Why? And he gives a mashal. I'll tell you his mashal, and then maybe we can use a more modern mashal. If you have, Hanukkah is coming up soon, so you have, let's say, a nair that you're lighting with oil and a wick. Okay. You have a certain amount of oil and a certain size wick. For that amount of oil with that type of wick, this nair will burn, let's say, for 3 hours. Of course, if you have a thicker wick, it will burn less time, less oil, less time. Now, theoretically, in a controlled environment, make a controlled experiment. If it burns up, let's say, an ounce of oil in 3 hours, if during those 3 hours you're always replenishing the oil and you keep it at that ounce level, theoretically, it will never go out. Of course, the wind could come blow it out, but in a controlled experiment, it will not go out. Okay? You just keep adding the oil, and let's say every hour a third of an ounce is burned up. Every hour you add a third of an ounce. But what about if after every hour you don't add a third of an ounce? You add a little bit less, not 0.33, 0.32, 0.31, 0.30. So it won't go out after 3 hours. But eventually, I'm sure there's a mathematical formula you can figure it out with. Eventually, if you keep on replenishing it just a little bit less than it was burning up, it's going to go out sooner or later. It has to. It's a mathematical necessity. It has to happen. Of course, if you take a thicker wick and you burn a brighter flame, then if you add the same amount of oil, it'll go out sooner. Says the Beis Halevi, there are koichas in a person. A person is made of ofar, ruach, esh, mayim, different components. A person is made from dirt, he's made from ruach, spiritual, ruach, esh, fire, mayim, water, different components that the Svarim talk about that go into a person. Esh represents the koich of taiva, desire, burning desire. Okay? When a person has a burning desire, it burns koichas in him. He's burning up fuel. But when he gets what he desired, did he fill up his tank? Prior to the Eitz Hadas, you filled up your tank. Yes, you wanted that particular food this much. When you eat it, it'll give you that much satisfaction. So you kept the tank full of petrol. Okay? The modern day motion would be if you have a car and theoretically, if everything in the car is working well, you're just filling it up with petrol all the time to the extent that it's being used, every hour, X amount of gallons, whatever it is, it'll keep going. But if you fill it up just a little bit less each time, somewhere on one of the highways, you're going to come to a grinding halt all of a sudden. It just has to burn out. That is what the Beis Halevi calls, I'll use the word burnout, the built-in burnout of Gashmius. It has to be that way. Because even the greatest tzaddikim, the way the world is now, you want something more than it is. You're burning more fuel. They say that the faster you drive a car, the less fuel efficient it is. At 60 miles per hour, you'll get less miles per gallon than you'll get at 50 miles per hour. At 80, you're going faster, but you're using up the fuel at a less efficient rate. If someone burns with desire greatly, they burn out. That's called burnout. And some of the greatest people, the wealthiest people, with high and mighty lifestyles, they get burnt out. Because they're burning it up on the one hand furiously. What are they getting back? GMG, as we say, garnished with garnished. Not getting back so much. But even if someone is a great tzaddik, to a certain extent, it's a built-in flaw, the way the world is now after the tzaddas, that everyone sooner or later is going to burn out because you're never getting what you expected to get back. And that's why Misa came from the tzaddas, because sooner or later, everyone has to burn out. But I want to tell you something. This is all in relation to Gashmius, to materialism. What about Ruchnius? What about spiritual things? So the Beis Halevi says over there it's just the opposite. Over there, not only do you not get less than you thought, you get more. You get more than you bargained for. And he bases it on a pasuk in one of the Haftarahs. The pasuk says in Navi, the Kaveh Hashem Yachalifu Kayach. Actually, the pasuk before that, it starts that V'yarutzu Na'arim V'yafu, that the youth, symbolizing the youth out there in the world who run after material things, they will run and they get tired. Koshel Yikasheilu, they'll stumble because you can't keep it up. The satisfaction doesn't keep up to your burning desire. However, V'kayve Hashem Yachalifu Kayach, the ones who hope to Hashem and they put their focus on spiritual things, Yachalifu Kayach means that they'll get replenished. Their kayach will be restored. They get recharged. And Ruchnius, you get more than you bargained for. And along those lines, I want to quote for you Rabbeinu Yoina in his Perush in Pirkei Avos. Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos in Perek Bey's famous Mishnah, Ma bebasa ma berima. More flesh, more food for the worms, eventually. Ma benechasim, ma bedaiga. You have more possessions, you have more worries, etc. Okay. And then the Mishnah goes on to the positive side of it. And it says, Marbe Torah, Marbe Chayim. The more Torah you have, the more life you have. So it seems that this is corresponding to the negative side. Now we're going over to the positive. What does Marbe Torah, Marbe Chayim correspond to in the negative? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, Zeh HaDavar Keneged Ma She'omer Marbe Basar Marbe Rima. This corresponds on the opposite, on the flip side, to what it says, Marbe Basar Marbe Rima. The more flesh, the more worms. Through physical pleasure, you shorten your life by running after it, because you're burning the fuel. But by toiling and running after Torah, but really toiling, like someone toils in work, toil in work of Torah, that will bring yarichon, arichas yama. And it's also connected to the marba. Basa Mabariba, Marba Torah is Marba Chaim. You get more than you bargained for. And he says it's also Keneged Marba Nechasa Marba Daga, that if you have more possessions, you have more worry. Listen to these beautiful words. Ki Daigas Anechasa Mekatzer Shnoisav. The worry about possessions, material things, shortens a person's years. Vedagas HaTorah. But the worry of Torah. What's the worry of Torah? You have to put an effort. You have to break your head over at Gemara. or that halacha, or the Rashi, or the Tosis. Even though it is a great worry for someone who really understands what toiling in Torah is all about. Kashi yachshav v'halacha, where you have to think about a particular din. Ad yom adover dover alafanav, until you come out with a clarity in the inyan. However, that daiga ain yecholas the daiga hahi lasas loyra. That daaga, although it's worry and it's toil and it's sweat, that cannot harm you. Ain yecholas the daiga hahi lasas loyra. Afalpi, listen to these words. Don't forget that Rabbi Yonah lived in the Middle Ages. Afalpi shomu chachmei ha-teva. Even though the chachamim of the teva, the scientists, say, Hayogoin choli halev. Sadness is a disease of the heart. Depression. It's a disease of the heart. It affects your heart physically. Badaiga and worry is not merely choli halev, an illness of the heart, who kolois halev. That destroys the heart. Right here, you can look it up in Rabbeinu Yonah, Perek Beis, and Pirkei Avos. So what it took centuries for Chachamim to come to the realization of how the mind and body affect each other. Ben Yonah says it in a few words here. So even though that's so, ach doig b'teira, but if someone has daiga in spiritual things in Torah, oirech yom mishnos chayim b'shalom yosifu loy, that will only add to his life and embellish his life and enhance it. This is what Shlomo says in Mishlei, Yiras Hashem toisif yomim. Fear of Hashem will cause your days to be longer and add to them. And the years of the Rishon will be cut short. And Beis HaLevi says, any of you who have been in a Siyam have heard this, that actually a Siyam of Shisha Siddhi Mishnah, the last Mishnah in Shas, what does it say? Asura Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Hanchel Shai Olamos. Hashem is going to give 310 worlds to the tzaddikim, Lasid Lovay. That will be their schar, their reward. And Chazal get the number of 310 because the pasuk says Shneama L'Hanchel Oyhavai Yesh, that I'll give over to my beloved ones Yesh, which is Begematria Yud Shin 310. Says the Beis HaLevi, there's another message here. What's yesh? What's real? What's something of substance? Yeshus. What's not something that's fleeting and will just disappear? Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, Torah, Mitzvahs, Ruchnias. That's the real yesh. And when you get that, you have to put koichas in, but you know what? Your battery gets recharged. The Kavya Hashem, Yachalifu Kaya, pursuing spiritual things, Torah and mitzvahs, Sebaisim Toivim, not only gives you returns at least as good as what you put into it, but even more. And you get recharged. So, Bezos Hashem, we should be Zaycha to put our priorities in the right place and to realize what really counts. And don't forget that saying, it's so important. Real wealth is to be measured by the things that you would not give up for anything else in the world. And so many people only discover that too late, when they've wasted their lives. Let's make sure to discover it as soon as possible and put our efforts in the right place. Thank you for inviting me.